here. There are a lot of places you could be. You could be home, which sometimes sounds really good when you wake up in the morning. You just kind of want to sit there and drink the coffee and just chill. But it's kind of like exercise. You don't sometimes want to do it, but after you've done it, you're kind of really glad you did it, right? And coming here this morning to have, you know, sometimes it can be our only transcendent moment with Christ where we're able to just be still and to be present and for our minds to, and our hearts to focus on Him, to give to Him and to receive. So I invite you to worship with us and join with us in that you just enjoy His presence this morning and enjoy the moments that you have with the body of Christ and with Him. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Stand in Him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still be beat. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. The one who paid my debt and raised His life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised His life up from the dead. Oh,
our works. It's not by anything we've done or haven't done, Lord, but it's by your blood. It's by your grace. It's by your love, God. And we worship you today. We give you thanks and we say, Lord, that your name is great. We honor you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Away.
you, Father, Lord. This is our last week of school this week, but which is always so nice when school's out and you can kind of rest your minds a minute and be present and realize that time just kind of slows down, which is really nice. And over the past couple weeks, we've done awards programs, this, and you know, you get so proud of what your kids have accomplished, and I am proud. But the scripture I'm about to read is more than anything we want to achieve in life, more than any award that we want to get or any accolade or any next step on our journey, more than anything, this is what I want for my children, for myself, and I know this is what you want for your lives. And it says in Philippians, but whatever were gains to me, whatever I've done right, whatever I've done well, whatever I've accomplished, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Don't you love that? To be found, we know He's in us. But to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. And you know, I want that for my children. I want them to know Him. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, not that I have already obtained all this, but I press on to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining and looking forward to what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me and heavenward in Christ Jesus. Nothing else matters. Yesterday doesn't matter. What matters is this moment right here, that we pursue Him, that we seek Him more than we seek anything else, that He becomes our all, and that because we know nothing fulfills our life like He does, like more of Him. And so this next song that Brandon's going to sing, it is about, I want more of you. I want to go deeper than you because nothing else matters. Amen. Let's worship.
I am desperate for your touch, a glimpse of heaven through the glory of the sun. And in a moment you can turn a life around, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find, there's nothing greater that holds my life. Your grace and mercy that has saved me by your blood swept away my shame, oh Lord. Love is like fire, burns for all to see. My only deeper, And I'm surrendered to your love, forever humbled by the message of the cross. I stand abandoned in your presence and in grace, and I'll never feel the same, oh God. Your love is like fire, burns for all to see.
Our greatest joy, God, to be found in you. And that, Lord, that we need you on our good days as much as we need you on our bad days. And Father, right now, we just open up our hearts to you, Lord, and we say, we need you more. We need you for our love to go deeper, for our minds to grow bigger, our knowledge of you to be so vast, God, Lord, that no matter where we are, we hear you, we feel you, we see you. Thank you, Jesus.
I need you more.
Seek after you, Lord, that you are so faithful to respond to us. That you said, Lord, that whatever we ask, it'll be done, Father, in your name, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise, Lord, that when we run after you, Lord, that you were there to fill us with your love and your goodness. We worship you and we thank you, Father. And everyone says,
amen. different than what we normally do. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery, there's going to be a dedication, a consecration of a memorial that's brand new, and this is the picture of it. This memorial is in memory of all of those who have died in the war on terrorism, or the ones that will die on the war on terrorism. And probably, without doubt, the most difficult war we've ever fought, never been a part of, is this war on terrorism. It's been long, there's no end in sight, and you know, people ask me a lot of times as a minister what I think about war. And I think about it the way everybody should think about it. It's horrible that something like that exists. And you can't put war in the category of right and wrong. You have to put it in the category, is it just? You know, what do you do? But my prayer is that all across America there'll come an awakening of a people that will pray continually that this will end and love will conquer all. Because until hatred is conquered, nothing will be conquered. And the pictures we're going to bring up are pictures of men who are from this area or who came out of the National Guard and who gave their life during this war on terrorism. And the first one is Michael J. Stokely, age 16, 2005. And Michael, we just thank you for what you did, and we bless your family. We bless all of those that love you so dearly. And we thank you for doing what you did. Next one is George R. Drong, Jr., 9-1-2005. And your memory will go on and on. And may your family be blessed and all those that loved you so dearly. Robert L. Holler, 9-1-2005. May your family be blessed and all of those who loved you so dearly. Jeffrey Davis Walker, 5-14-2007. May your family be blessed and filled with grace, all those who loved you so dearly. Christopher B. Rogers, 9-1-2010. May your family be blessed. God's grace be upon all those who loved you so dearly. And Jeremy P. Faulkner, 3-29-2011. And may your family be blessed and God's grace be upon all those that loved you so dearly. Jonathan F. Davis, 3-29-2012. May your family be blessed and God's grace rest upon all those who love you so dearly. Would you just stand with me for a moment and let's just bow our heads in a moment of silence and appreciation and thanksgiving for all of those who gave their life. Father, as we stand in your presence, Lord, in a united prayer, we pray for peace. We pray, God, that you will intervene and do what only you can do and instill in men and women's hearts that the greatest attribute that there is love, to love you and to love one another. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. We are in a series of messages called The Miners, and it's a series that I'm fond of. I've preached it one time, and we talked about some different minors this time. We're going to talk about one that I talked about 3 or 4 years ago when we first did this. But it's from the book of Hosea. And I purposely did not want to do a PowerPoint today because I want you to really focus up here. I want you to listen intently, and I want to tell a story. And we're going to read some scriptures, of course, with it, but the main idea of this talk today is to tell a story, which is a very unique story. I'm going to say some things that will, I hope, awaken you to some things you've never heard or thought of before. We're going to say some things that may be seemingly, wow, never looked at it that way. But I have had an enriching week of just meditating upon this book. I really actually have done more meditating than I've done studying. I normally don't do that. I normally do much more study than meditating about what I'm going to talk about. But I've done a lot of meditating. And because there's some things when you look in this story, you see a God doing things that it's pretty strange, especially to the people of Israel. But first I want to give you the title of this message is Turning Your Valley of Trouble into a Gateway of Hope. Turning your valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Aren't you glad that no matter what trouble you have, what problems you have, there's always hope? There's always the hope of an expectation of something good coming out of it. Well, the problem with Israel was found in Hosea 4, 12 through 13. And God said, they ask a piece of wood for advice. They think a stick can tell them the future. Longing for idols has made them foolish. They've played the prostitute, serving other gods and deserting their God. They offer sacrifices to idols on the mountaintops. They go up into the hills to burn incense to the pleasant shade of oaks and poplars and terebinth trees. That is why your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. And what God is saying to Israel said, you've turned away from me again, and you've gone after other gods. The things we have to realize, church, is that other gods is not necessarily an idol we bow down to. Another god is not something that we actually may look at and worship. Another god can be anything that we look to for that will appease us or satisfy us, or we look to give us advice. And he says, I'm the one that you should give advice to. Now, I can't, there's 14 chapters in the book of Hosea, but I encourage you to read all of it after this talk. But in Isaiah 14, I love what God said to Israel. In Isaiah 14, he finally says to them, he says, I am the tree that ever lives. He condemns them, he says, because you cut down a tree and you worship. You cut down what was alive and you worshiped what was dead. And he said, but I'm the true tree of life. And if you will look to me, then you will have everything that you need. And so God chooses a prophet and his name is Hosea. And God says to Hosea to do something that is absolutely against what Israel believed, against what they taught, against the very laws that they had written down. God says to Hosea, when the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. Now, when you read this whole story, you find out that he married the prostitute, and she went out and did prostitution again. And when she did, she conceived children. And she brought the children into their home. And they became Hosea's children. When I first started in the ministry in 1976, I was very young and foolish, and there was a young man who came to me, and it was one of my first weddings I was going to do. And I'll never forget this, and I've thought about this a lot this week. And I thought, you know, I either gave him some of the greatest premarital counsel I've ever given, or maybe I missed it. He came to me and was casually talking about the wedding in a week. He said, I want to say something private to you, and I want you to give me advice, because I really love this lady, but she is sleeping now with her next door neighbor. And we all know what, so they're not really sleeping. Don't know why we use that term. And I naturally look at him, and he says, but she's promised me she will stop after we're married. Well, knowing the word the way I knew the word and the scripture the way I knew the scripture, I looked at him and said, you are not going to marry her, and I will not perform this ceremony. He took my advice and didn't marry her. Now, I imagine every one of us, our first thought would be, that's some really good advice. What if he had married her and her whole life changed? What if she had experienced a love from him that she had never experienced from anyone else? And so today, I don't look back over that moment and think necessarily I gave him the most wise counsel. Who knows? God knows, but we don't know. I'm saying all that to say this. God can only relate to us according to the capacity for which we're able to see and hear God. God can only relate to us based upon the capacity that we have to hear and to see God. We either try to see God through the Word, or we see the Word through God. Am I trying to see God through the Word? Am I seeing God? Seeing the Word through God. When Jesus came, did I see Jesus through the Word, or did I see Jesus through who he really was? Because one of the alarming things that Jesus ever said, he said to the people, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow. Here was a huge book already written about him. Here was all these prophecies concerning him, which were awesome, and he fulfilled them all. But how many know that those people did not know of all the prophecies the way that we know them today? Or better yet, they were probably like a lot of people who only hear God and see God through whomever is speaking at any moment on a Sunday morning or any other time in church. If the only time I can see God or hear God is here, then I'm missing out on so much, because we can see and we can hear God everywhere we go, and every moment of our life, God is there. And God can speak to us, and we can hear from God anywhere that we are. You see, God told Hosea, I want you to do something that is going to be so different and so mind-boggling to Israel, because their law says that if a woman commits adultery, much less prostitution, or however you want to look at it, that she is to be stoned to death, and the one that she commits it with is to be stoned to death. And yet he's telling Hosea, I want you to break the law that the law says, and I want you to marry her, and she's going to be unfaithful to you, and she's going to actually give you children that are not going to be your kids, and yet you're going to raise them, and yet the law says that she should be stoned to death. What? Wow. How many Pharisees of that day you think would have risen up and said, whoa, you can't be a prophet of God and break the law. You can't be a prophet of God and go do something that you're talking about doing when the law says that if this happens, that she's to be stoned to death, or he's to be stoned to death. And then you see all these laws. See, most, if you will just love God and love your neighbor, most of this law is not even for you. The law is not for us. The law is for the unrighteous. It's not for the righteous. And the weird thing about the law was that in the law, the unrighteous died for the righteous. I know, just hang with me. If I commit adultery, I'm stoned to death. Well, the unrighteous is dying for the righteous. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Jesus comes, turns it around, because the righteous died for the unrighteous, and the holy died for the unholy. I mean, he just flipped it all around. And Jesus, in his life, they came to him and they said, you know, the law says that for this and this and this, a man can get a divorce. And God says, that's not the way I intended it. That law wasn't given because of righteous deeds. The law was given because of unrighteous deeds. My law has always been, has not been that way from the beginning. In the beginning, that was not so. Wow. In the beginning, see, the law was given because an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, why is it an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Because vengeance wants more than that. Vengeance wants, if you pluck out my eye, I'll get both yours. Vengeance never comes back even. Vengeance comes back with more vengeance. You just watch your little kids fight. I mean, one can hit the other one so much, and then the other one's coming at them, and wham. They never hit them the same way they got hit. Vengeance doesn't do that. Me and my brother were huge fighters coming. I mean, fighters. I'm not talking about verbal fighting. I'm talking about blood-curdling fighting sometimes. I'm talking about fisticuffs. I'm talking about busting each other upside the head. We're talking serious fighting. Well, I never popped him, and he didn't come back with vengeance. And the vengeance was way more than I gave him. And my plea to mom and dad was, I didn't hit him that hard. He hit me a lot harder than I hit him. He sure did. And he was bigger and meaner, too. And so it was always more when he came back on me. Now, there's time when, you know, the little boy grows up. Well, it ain't that way anymore. But see, vengeance always wants more. And you never want to pay that price, because God said, I'm going to pay the price for vengeance on sin. I'm going to give my son. I'm going to give the righteous for the I'm going to turn this thing around. The unrighteous are not dying for the righteous anymore. The righteous is going to die for the unrighteous. Wow. And so she conceived. Jezreel, which means scattered. Lo Ruhamah, which means no mercy. Lo Ami, which means alienation and not my people. And every time Hosea looked at those three kids, he saw Israel scattered, he saw them having no mercy, and he saw them not God's people. Because, see, something had God wanted Israel to see is how turning from him and turning from the true light and the true life, what the opposite really does. Because, see, what sin really does, first of all, it's a lie. Out of the gate, it's a lie. It deceives us into thinking that what we are loving would be good for us. See, we never would do anything that we don't feel or think will be good for us. The old song, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Wrong's never going to feel wrong. Sin's never going to feel like sin. Satan's not going to appear like a dragon with a forked tail. You would not ever yield to a temptation that was really in the light, that you could really see it as what it really is. Would you? Would you really do something that you thought inside of you, it's not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to really like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to really enjoy it, but I'm going to do it anyway. No. We think we will because it's deceptive, and the deception of it is, it's good for me. It's delusional. She thought she'd receive pleasure, but all she got was betrayal. It's like a group of thieves getting together, and they're going to be a unit. How can one thief trust another thief? How can you trust another one? How could she trust other betrayers who was betraying too? You with me? It's separation. It separates us from what God really has for us. Not from anything good. He's separating us from a God who says, I've got everything good for you. It ruins life and it ruins hope. And so she's out. Not only has given birth to three illegitimate children to her husband, but now she's still out being a prostitute. In Hosea chapter 2, he responds initially the way we all respond to betrayal, where we all respond to being done wrong. He starts out and he goes, tell her to remove the prostitute's makeup from her face and the clothing that exposes her breast. Otherwise, I will strip her as naked as she was on the day she was born. I will leave her to die of thirst in the dry and a barren wilderness. I will not love her children. They are conceived in prostitution. Their mother is a shameless prostitute and became pregnant in a shameful way. Wow. I don't know what man here wouldn't maybe react initially that way. Now, if you read this, you see that this is God, how God is looking at Israel also. He's angry. But you got to realize, Israel is not hearing God speak these words. Israel is hearing Hosea speak these words. So when you read this scripture, you can't read it from the light that this invisible God is speaking to a nation of Israel. You got to see a man, Hosea, and God is talking through this man, and they are seeing Hosea talk about his prostitute wife this way. I'll not love her children. She has done me wrong. Basically, he's angry with where she is. You just take this at however you want to take it. Take this, though, and interpret it the way you want to interpret it. I don't think there's a person here. Our first reaction, our first response to thing is anger. And I don't know that sometimes an anger can have a right work in our life and work something out of us and through us that maybe if we channel it in the right direction, it will really work for our good. You see, it's a strong emotion, just like love is a strong emotion. And the emotion that Hosea had was an emotion that had to be because it wasn't that he actually hated her. It was actually because he loved her. Wow. Because he did not love her, it wouldn't have mattered. Wouldn't have mattered. You see, you got to realize when you feel certain things that it's an emotion that's based upon an emotion of another emotion. How can you love if you've never known what hate is? How do you know the difference? And so his first reaction and first response is that way. But then there's another emotion that wells up inside of Hosea. And maybe it was the first counseling session that ever transpired and took place when someone who was betrayed so badly comes back to a God and maybe does what everybody else does. Why, God? Why? Why did you allow me to be hurt the way that I've been hurt? Why did you allow me to go through what I'm going through? How many times in a counseling session, Penny and Linda and all Spencer, and that the first thing out of a person's mouth is, why me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why did I have to suffer such betrayal? Why me? Jesus was walking along one time and they asked him, they came by a certain place in Jerusalem and there used to be a tower there. And they was asking the same question we all answer is why? And Jesus said one time there was a tower and it fell and it killed all these people. My question to you is, why weren't you one of them? And so all of a sudden in this moment, and let me tell you something, betraying this in a counseling way, but you know who your greatest counselor is you. You say, you know, I'm not a professional counselor. You are the most professional counselor. Because you counsel you day in and day out. How many times do you talk to yourself? How many times do you say, you idiot, you dodo bird, can't you see what you're doing? And you're counseling yourself continually and constantly. You're your greatest counselor. And so through this process of anger, this process of time, Hosea has a moment. And you see, if you will just pause in all your situations in all of life, if you'll pause long enough to hear God, guess what? You will hear God. You just got to believe when you hear God that you heard God. And so Hosea gets this moment. Then the Lord said to me, look at me. I know we read this and we get this idea that God is down here and he comes down and he sits down and Hosea sees God and God's talking to him. That's not the way it is. God's invisible. He was hearing God through what he was internalizing within himself. It's not this audible voice that's going to sit down and say to you such and such. That's one reason we need to read the Word of God, because it implants in our heart. And so when we come to a place in our life where we need to hear God, we'll hear God. Who wouldn't be angry Somebody came to me and said, your wife is a prostitute. She came home to me and said, I'm pregnant and it's not yours, Bjorn. And it comes home again, I'm pregnant again, it's not yours either. And I come home again, I'm pregnant again, it's not yours either. Wow. Wow. He heard something inside of him. He said this, go love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. So I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. Why does God want to be so detailed in this? Why does he want to be so specific as to what Hosea purchased her for? To see the price that was paid. To see that it wasn't, not only did he go and love her, he goes and he buys. See, God loves us in spite of our sins. Let me say that, you got to hear that. God loves us in spite of our sins, not because of our sins. He loves us in spite of them. And God always seeks to win us back. He never gives up. He says, then I will win her back once again. Wow, she wasn't going to do anything. Many times that we have this understanding, well, you give, I'll give, you take, I'll take, you do it, I'll do it, you receive it, I'll receive it, you do right, I'll do right. Whatever happened to what real covenant is? It's a one-sided thing. You see, God's covenant is not man's covenant. Man's covenant is, let's shake hands on it. Let's shake hands on it, and I'll do this if you'll do this, and as long as you do this, I'll do this. That's man's way of covenant, where you shake a hand, sign a contract. It's always two-sided. You do this, and I'll do this. God made the first covenant with Abraham, and Abraham was asleep. And so God walks through the sacrifices and says, this covenant's not going to be based upon what you do. This covenant's not going to be based upon what you say. This covenant's going to be based upon who I am. And I'm the unchangeable God who loves unconditionally. And there's not anything you could ever do that would merit not my love. And that's the covenant I'm going to make. And so Hosea, you see, is a prophet of God. He has heard God through the prophets of old. He's not going to try to see the law, see God through the law. He's going to try to see the law through God. How does God see it? He says, I'm going to step out of the comfort zone of the law. I'm going to step out of what tradition says. I'm going to step out of what everybody else thinks about it. I'm going to step out of what my friends would say to me. Oh, you idiot. If I was you, I'd get out of that circumstance and situation. I'm going to step out of all that comfort and say, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to win her back. And then he says in verse 15 of chapter 2, I'm going to transform her valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. Did Hosea go after her because of a great emotional love for her? I don't think so. But I want you for a moment. I want you to picture this. I remember a movie, it's Time to Kill. Great movie. And at the end of it, the lawyer said, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture this. And he went through this long thing, and it was earth-shattering to that jury. And they ended up giving a man not guilty plea who had cold-blooded murdered somebody. because they saw it in a different light. The place is the town square. The auctioneer starts to bid very low because Gomer's a fallen woman. To be a slave, you didn't go for much. She stands naked, abused, without hope, without happiness. She remembers her marriage to Gomer, her children, all that she's lost. She remembers her many lovers who dragged her down, down. The bid's not very high for this almost worthless woman when someone who does not have much bids all that he has. She does not even look up when the winning bidder approaches. And she feels a robe around her nakedness and a soft voice bidding her to come home. She recognizes the voice and tears flow down her cheeks. And she realizes she's been redeemed by one who loves her. You see, I believe love is a strong emotion and a strong feeling. But I believe the strong emotion and the strong feeling often comes out of an obedient act. See, the Bible says to love your enemies. You don't love your enemy with this ooshy-gooshy emotional feeling. You can't do that. You love your enemies by not wishing any ill will toward them. You wish them good and best. You don't have the idea of the hope. I hope you get it. Hope you get what you got, you gave out. I hope you get your due. I know nobody here has ever said that. I hope you get your due. See, we have this thing. We always want people to pay for their wrong. When you read the book of Revelation, let me tell you the greatest revelation that's in the book of Revelation. It's in the first chapter. It said, I'm John, the one who, your brother in tribulation. And he talked about the God who loves us and redeems us and has purchased us by his blood and released us from the power of sin. But when you read that, the first thing we think about is the power of it. You see, God not only releases you from the power of the system, but he says he releases you from the penalty. And so his idea of dealing with us is not based upon you paying a penance. It's based upon the love that he has for you. He loved you so much that he gave his son. And that he's not only going to forgive you and forget it and move on in life, he's going to remove the penalty of it. That's pretty awesome. And so when you think about from now on circumstances and situations, and well, how does God, you know, the word says this, really? You're going to interpret God? Be honest, when you read some things in the Old Testament, and if you interpreted God by what you read, would you really get a picture of who God is? Come on, would you really get a picture of who God is? I believe that's part of the era of terrorism, is that I believe some of these people interpret their prophets in a way that their prophets really weren't supposed to be interpreted. I don't want to get political, but I will. From the standpoint of, you know, all Islamic people are not bad people. You could take a Christian who will read the Word of God, read their Bible, read their scriptures. If you would, if you did, you could interpret some things to go out and kill somebody. If if you try to interpret God through what you're reading in the Bible. We had people years ago bombing abortion clinics thinking they're doing something right when it was totally wrong and evil. But these were Christian people who were doing it out of an act that they really thought was the right thing to do. It was not right. God is a loving, kind, merciful Father who loves us so much. And I could say a lot more, and I'm not trying to get you to buy into my belief system. What I am trying to do this morning is stir your hearts and stir your minds to think outside the box. And to know that you and you and you and you, you can hear God every single day of your life. There's an inward voice. You were created in the likeness and the image of God. And if you will hear that inward voice. I studied authority years ago. And one of the best teachings I ever came across, authority, and it talked about the 7 levels of authority in our life. I'm not going to give you 7. I'm going to give you the top 3. Authority is in your life. Number 1 is God. Sovereign God. God is over everything. And unless you understand what sovereignty means he is in all control. It means he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. You with me? Because he's God. 2nd is the word of God, because he said he put his word and he would be bound by that word. But the 3rd greatest authority is your conscience inside of you. That voice will tell you at times what if you rationalize it up here, you might would make a decision and do something based upon a decision up here that seems so rational. Pretty irrational, don't you think, to go buy a prostitute back? Pretty irrational, don't you think that's irrational? The law didn't say, the law said, take it to the priest, stone her to death. But I hear something else inside me saying, no, don't do that. You have an authority inside of you that's beyond all authorities. It's your conscience that will interpret to you and through you and for you the mind and the will and the purpose and the plan and the vision of God for your life. It's an awesome thing. And so I encourage you. In a moment we're going to recognize the graduates, but before I do this, this is my altar call. However you want to say it, I want to end this. I want you to leave today with a conscious awareness of the eternal God inside you, who will speak to you as clearly as I'm speaking to you. You won't hear it like this, but you'll hear it. And you'll know this is the right thing to do. I'm not saying my advice to that young man 40 years ago was right or wrong. But I do want to plant the seed of what if? What if I had, instead of just interpreting the moment by what I thought was right and wrong, what if I'd have paused and meditated for a moment and asked the Lord, what should I tell this young man who's deeply in love with this woman? What should I tell him? What if? What if? I don't know. But it's worth the question. See, I don't believe that I'm infallible. I believe he is. And I just wish I could hit replay sometimes and do something that we all ought to do. What's God think about it? What does God think about it? Wow. I mean, you see God in a little different light this morning than you saw him before you came. Pretty neat God, isn't he? Aren't you glad you know him? Better than that, aren't you glad he knows you? And that's how he deals with you all the time. That's why we used to say it. Those of you who've been here for a long, long time, just say it, repeat it. God is good all the time. Amen. All right, I'm going to honor our graduates this morning. Man, when Dusty's talking about all those awards, I was amazed when I went to all these awards, because when I went to school, I didn't know there was such a thing. You know, people get all these awards. I never got one. And I realized there's a reason, but I want to saw John Henry get all A honor roll. I'm going, what is that? Who gets all A honor roll? Who gets perfect attendance in school? You never heard of playing hooky? What is perfect attendance? My gosh. So I didn't know. I didn't have a clue what all these awards were, but I learned a little bit. My friend, this time next week, you know I'm going there. This time next week, married man. Married man. Marrying a gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful lady inside and out. That shows you God's grace and love and mercy, doesn't it? How much he loves you. So, we call your name, graduate. Will you come down and just stand here and receive your Bible, and then we're going to speak a word over you and pray for you and bless you. Our first one is Kaylee Cook. Emily Gordy. She's not here. Next one is Sam Prestige. That's Jet. Didn't know my grandson looked so much like you when y'all were babies. Will Price. Not here, but. I know that anybody else graduate that we don't know of? If you graduate from college even, you can stand up, we don't recognize you. Anybody graduate from college? Anybody graduate on the computer from something you just always wanted to go? I planned 1 year just getting my doctorate off the computer, you know. You can get it in 2 weeks. So I'm just going to get it and be honored that way. I want you to come and stand right here, if you will. And if you'll face me, congratulations. It's a huge thing to get to the place that you are in life. And believe me, there's a big old world out there. And your journey is what you determine it to be. It's what you determine it to be. Nobody else can determine your journey but you. And always minimize your problems. Maximize your solutions. When you see a problem, always know there's a solution. And don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution. Maximize who you are. You're creating the likeness and the image of God. Always let that be the focus you have about who you are. You're creating his likeness and his image. Nobody can label you. God has labeled you his. And he's labeled you good and honorable and perfect. Let God's label stay on you. And always recognize him inside you. Go for your dream. And don't let anybody else or anything else deter you from your dream. Know that all dreams and all visions that people have is internalized inside them, comes out of the Creator who had a vision to create everything that you see. what you see when you go to see a beautiful ocean or a beautiful mountain. God envisioned that. That was His vision to create. And you have the same ability to create the vision, the desires of your heart that you know that you want to achieve. And God's going to place you into some circumstances and situations for which the light and the glory of God is going to come forth. And people are going to see God because of how you've acted and reacted under circumstances and situations. And that's the glory that will emanate from you that far exceed any other glory in your life. And Sam, God chose you from your birth. Been some difficult times in your life, some circumstances and situations that was beyond anything you had any control over. We can look at those things and we can define those things, determine those things based upon our evaluation of it, a definition of it. Or we can turn to the God who created everything and let Him look through you and be to you and for you what He wants to be to you and for you and through you. You're a great man of God who has a great future. And there are things that are going to begin to surface in your life. Seeds of greatness, if you will. Seeds of honor. Seeds of such admirable things. Because God is so in you and will be to you everything that you need. So don't let other people label you, other things label you, other things define you. You're labeled and defined and determined by who God says you are and not by anything else. Father, you bless him as he goes into his future, and the future is good. Thank you for being with him every step of the way and doing in him and through him and for him based upon, Lord, your sovereign will. We bless her, Lord, and we thank you. We impart to her, Lord, everything that she'll need, Lord, to face this life and become everything that you desire for her to become. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Congratulations on an awesome.
Really quick before you guys take your seat. I don't know if you were, on Sunday I had the opportunity to speak to the graduating class of Baldwin High School Baccalaureate. One of the things I talked to them about was here at Eagles Way, this has been a year of launching for us. And so we talked about several different launches, big launches, Apollo 11, saw a space travel, seeing two men set foot on the moon. We talked about some small launches. And the story I told them was about Chad and I going to Dollar General. And that kid can sniff out a toy store anywhere. I mean, toy section. I mean, I told him you can be in Hastings Funeral Home and he'll find a toy section in there somewhere. And we were in Dollar General, and he found a toy section, this thing called a foot rocket, big box, and you step on it, and it shoots into the air, and it's like a dollar. So I bought it. We went out, and we set out in the yard, and put it down, and got ready. I said, clear out some room, Chad. Got ready, and I stepped on it. It went up maybe 13 inches and just fell right back down. It was, stepped on it again. Chad's looking, I'm looking, and he just got so excited about this little 13-inch launch. No, it was really small. And what I wanted to say to you guys was, I think it's John 14:12 says, verily I say unto you, whoever believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater works. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to remember that, and even greater works. Here is a God that we serve that's done great, miraculous things, performed miracles. And here he is saying to us that he's expecting us to do even greater works. I want you guys to remember that as you begin this launch in your life. We were never intended to be foot rockets. We were never intended to be foot rockets.
Good.
We were intended to be Apollo 11. God yeah. wants us to do great and amazing things. So you guys remember that. Keep that in mind. Even yeah. greater works as you start this launch in your life. So.
There's a lot of important information. You need to make sure that you read that each and every week. One of the things that is in there is the connection card. Each and every week, whether you're a member or a visitor, if you're visiting this morning, thank you for being here. We'd love to have record of your visit, just a name and an email address. We'll follow up with you. This morning, if you got one that had the Gideon's International flyer in there, this week we did a men's prayer breakfast, and all of the offering each year we do that goes toward to the Gideons. They have put over 1 billion Bibles in people's hands across this world. All of the money that is ever given to the Gideons goes directly towards putting Bibles in people's hands, not administrative costs. It's pretty amazing what they do, getting the word out. So that is there. If you want to make a donation to the Gideons, you can do that. Just giving you that opportunity. June 3rd, which is a week from Wednesday, will be our next First Wednesdays. We'll have very relaxed and enjoyable worship. Oh man, last time we did it in May, it was incredible. So you want to be here for that. Personal ministry takes place on that evening, and the word comes forth, so make sure that you plan for that. And then June 6th, a lot of things going on. We've got it up in the youth building area, will be a yard sale, doing the chicken queue. How many have purchased your chicken queue ticket? Oh my goodness. We got some folks that need to buy a chicken queue ticket. It's only $8. Okay? If you have items that you need picked up at your home, we can do that next week. You got to call me and set up an appointment to do that. It needs to be more than just one bag. You need a truckload. But we'll be happy to do that, whether it's furniture or whatever it might be. No clothing, no books for the yard sale. And so I don't forget, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Children's church has been taking place outside at the playground this morning. They took all the chairs and things out there because of the day. So if you are picking your child up, make sure you go all the way to the playground to get them. Isn't God good? Ushers, I'm sorry, you should have already been coming down this way. When I start talking, y'all need to just start walking. We thank you for your faithfulness. We are doing things in our community. Each and every work week or month, we are serving meals. Those meals, we cook those meals here. We have ladies that get in there and that do all kind of work. Those meals don't just, I mean, that food doesn't just show up. It has to be purchased. So if you put money into the alms, it goes to purchase those meals. We support the soup kitchen. 100 people every day, Monday through Friday, get a lunch because of you. It's pretty cool. But we thank you, Lord, for this offering, the tithes, the offering, the alms. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can give our first fruits. Multiply that, Lord, for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watching, finding me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it by. my lips shall still be healed. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed